www.huntertonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I think the American people are very accustomed to this president speaking his mind and speaking very straight with him.
Vice President Mike Pence on ABC's This Week defending President Trump's plain-speaking tone toward world leaders. Pence very busy this weekend with speaking engagements. He spoke to the Federalist Society about incoming Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch.
Norm Eisen, President Obama's former ethics czar, simply said Judge Gorsuch is, quote, a great guy. And Neil Katyal, the acting Solicitor General under President Obama, endorsed Judge Gorsuch in the strongest possible terms. He called him, quote, an extraordinary judge, close quote, who will, quote, help restore confidence in the rule of law.
Betsy DeVos learning tomorrow whether she'll be confirmed as the next Education Secretary. The U.S. Senate expected to vote tomorrow after voting along party lines Friday to cut off debate and send DeVos's nomination to a final vote. USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Angie with Daybreak USA. I've told you about Ovation Hair, and you know why? Because it works. My whole family now uses it. Yes, grand, all the girls use it. Also, Hope and Faith, because they had some swimmers damage to their hair because they're on swim team. And they have something beautiful out right now. I think it's the prettiest gift set they've ever had for Valentine's Day. A beautiful heart on the box. They also have included a big bottle of mousse, and then also some beautiful hair accessories, some pins for your hair. My girls love them. They've been wearing them to school. They're super pretty. So how do you get this Valentine's Day gift set? Well, hurry, because the supplies will probably run out because there's over 50% savings on this set. And again, it's real pretty, a real nice gift for Valentine's Day. I'm thrilled with the results I've had from Ovation Hair. I'm serious. My hair has never looked better. So go to ovationhair.com, ovationhair.com. And if you're a new customer, select Angie Austin Daybreak USA at checkout. And by the way, there's a money-back guarantee. Ovationhair.com, ovationhair.com. It's a beautiful set. You'll love it.
Here's the latest happenings regarding the legal actions against President Trump's executive orders against immigration.
Lawyers representing the states of Washington and Minnesota have met an overnight deadline to file additional legal briefs in their effort to get President Trump's travel ban permanently scrapped. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals set a 1 a.m. Pacific time deadline for that paperwork. The court also set a deadline of 3 p.m. for the Department of Justice to file its response. The Ninth Circuit on Sunday denied the Trump administration's request to immediately reinstate the president's travel ban. The order was halted Friday night by a judge in Washington State and appealed by the Department of Justice.
The Senate now expected to vote tomorrow to confirm Betsy DeVos as Education Secretary. Senators voted along party lines Friday to kill debate and send it to a final vote. Two GOP senators, Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, said they're going to vote no, resulting in a 50-50 tie. Vice President Mike Pence says that he'll be on hand and he will break the tie with a vote in favor of the president's nominee. USA Radio News.
If your pet needed thousands of dollars in vet care, could you afford it? PetSavingsUSA.com members are covered by discounted pet insurance with the first 2 months free. Plus, save up to 50% at every major retailer and receive hundreds of dollars worth of free gifts. To receive 2 months of free pet insurance and an instant $100 in savings, call 877-835-6060. That's 877-835-6060. Or go to PetSavingsUSA.com.
Officials with the New York Police Department crediting good old-fashioned police work with systematically lining up the case against a man arrested for a murder. Here's the story.
6 months of good old-fashioned police work, and now Karina Vetrano's alleged killer, Janelle Lewis, is in custody linked to a rape and murder, police say, by DNA evidence and the 20-year-old's own words.
He's a demon. He's a demon.
Vetrano's mother, but Lewis's father says his son has no record of violence.
He's not the person who would have done what they say.
Lewis is charged with second-degree murder and is due in court on February 21st. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
After a series of tornadoes causing massive damage in Mississippi, Mississippi Emergency Management says they need a bigger budget. Here's Randy Bell.
The Mississippi Emergency Management Agency is being told it may have to get by with a budget of $2.8 million next year. That's $300,000 less than MEMA was getting back in 2005 before Hurricane Katrina.
$2.8 million, I cannot adequately serve the people of Mississippi.
MEMA Director Lee Smithson says the agency's budget has been cut every year since 2012, and he says they could be faced with the prospect of eliminating programs if they don't get more money. Randy Bell in Jackson.
USA Today's ad meter competition for the Super Bowl had Melissa McCarthy's Kia commercial as the winner. A commercial called Hero's Journey had her trying to help the environment and failing miserably. USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
The weather this afternoon is going to be mostly sunny with a high near 44, west winds around 8 miles an hour. Tonight, a slight chance of freezing rain between 1 and 3 a.m., and then a chance of rain, increasing clouds with a low around 32, south winds 3 to 5 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 40%. The new precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch is possible. Tuesday, rain, mainly after 7 a.m., with a high near 54. Calm winds becoming south around 5 miles an hour in the afternoon, and the chance of precipitation is 90%. Tuesday night, rain likely, mainly before 1 a.m., be cloudy with a low around 48, southwest winds 6 to 9 miles an hour, the chance of precipitation is 70%. Wednesday, what's new, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 55, southwest winds 6 to 11 miles an hour, but the gusts can go as high as 23 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation is 30%. Wednesday night, chance of rain showers before 1 a.m. Then a chance of rain and snow showers between 1 and 4 a.m. And then chance of snow after 4 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 26. The chance of precipitation is 50%. And Thursday is going to be partly sunny because it's my birthday. So I won't tell you how old, but it is my birthday. You're listening to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged to have with us today Maria Fio. Did I say it right?
Yes.
How about that?
How are you, Larry?
I'm well. How are you?
Good.
Other than your birthday. Well, yeah, my 30th birthday, right? Plus. A lot of pluses. Yeah.
Warm.
Yeah, but warm.
Thanks for having me here.
Well, I thank you for coming. I have to ask you, behind your name, there's a whole list of...
initials.
Initials, yes. Okay. I hate acronyms,
so first and foremost,
BSN is what?
I have a baccalaureate in science of a nursing degree.
Okay.
That's
all right, RN, I understand, but nurse, that I got.
Nurse.
What is a BC?
I'm board certified in cardiovascular medicine.
Okay. And a CTTS?
CTTS tobacco treatment specialist. And that's like one of my big things. That's
I remember that.
Very important.
Yes, yeah. I remember that.
Yep. Probably well, the most recent certification and probably one of the most important ones, especially during heart lung.
Well, I quit smoking almost 29 years ago, so.
Congratulations. Yeah. I congratulate all my friends and colleagues and patients that can.
You know, it's, I probably quit 49 times before, you know, but then they put me on an operating table and tilted me upside down so my head was pointing towards the floor, and they scraped my vocal cords, and they said it was the only time they could do it. The next time they'd have to take them out. And when you've got a big mouth like me, I can't even imagine what it's like talking through that voice box in your throat. So
that's scary.
Yeah, it was. So I quit, you know, and wasn't easy. But,
no, it isn't easy, and you know when you're a smoker, people don't realize that nicotine is a highly addictive.
It's addictive, like drugs and alcohol is the same. You know, it's addictive. It's the way it is.
And we really do see a lot of the mental health population. Really, like I know when they talk about the smoking rate in the country going down, it's the mental health population, the behavioral health population, that continues to decline.
Well, my youngest son is schizophrenic. And it is a proven fact that with schizophrenics, the nicotine quells the voices in their head. That's why they say almost 90% of people with schizophrenia smoke.
Right, but if you can deliver that nicotine via a clean delivery system.
I understand all that, you know. But it's like the same thing. It's an addiction. And a lot of times, it takes a lot to overcome it.
Exactly.
You know, it's been almost 29 years, and I tell you what, honest to God, if somebody lights a Marlboro up near me, I have to walk away. And that's been almost 29 years ago, and I still have to walk away.
And I'm glad you walk away from any type of cigarettes, be it Marlboro or any
other. Well, Marlboro, I definitely walk away from. The other, I just, you know. I walk away because I can't stand the smell of it.
Well,
but Marlboro is the one that I used to smoke, and that's the one that tempts me.
It's the secondhand smoke.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand. We did a radio show together on that.
We did.
Yeah.
And it's heart lung, so it is the leading cause of heart attack and stroke and actually preventable death in the United States.
Right.
And unfortunately, the behavioral health population consume probably greater than 50% of all cigarettes, and they die up to 25 years
earlier
because of tobacco-related diseases.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, ironic, when I quit, they gave me the patch, and at that time it was a prescription and all that, and it was like 3 weeks and put another one on, 3 weeks and another one and another one. After 6 weeks, I'm thinking to myself, I could get addicted to this patch. So I didn't do it after 6 weeks. I kept the patches up on my dresser, you know, so I keep looking at them. But I didn't, you know, use them. And I didn't really need it after that, you know. But
the patch now, you know, it's been FDA approved for over 30 years. It's been over the counter probably for over 20. It's a sustained dose release. It's a 24-hour dose release. And really, I consider myself fairly knowledgeable in this field.
Right.
And I will tell my patients that if they need to keep a 21 milligram patch on, and even if they have a slip with a cigarette, you don't take the patch off. You keep the patch on because the warning labels have changed, because what happens if you take the patch off? You're not going to put it back on. When you're able to take away all the other 7,000 chemical compounds and the 68 known carcinogens, and just have that one. Yes, nicotine is a quote unquote toxin, it is a compound, but when you're able to just have one, that sometimes is, you know, gets people to understand that, well, if they need to be on it longer, 3 months, anything safer than that.
Yeah, I know someone who.
That's one of the leading causes of heart disease, right?
Exactly. I know someone who was on the patch years ago now, he used to work for me. And he smoked while he was on it, and he had a massive heart attack, you know, because, and the doctors at the time attributed it to smoking while he had the patch on.
Well, I don't ever suggest to patients to continue to smoke.
No, I mean, no, but I just, you know.
But if they happen, when I say to slip, I mean if they happen to have a slip of a cigarette, encourage them to keep the warning labels unchanged.
Right, right.
So, but we're pretty proactive at Hunterdon, I'll tell you, you know, even when we, because the majority of our patients, not all, but, you know, I would say maybe 25 to 30% of people that come in that I see that do have a heart attack or a heart event are either current everyday smokers or current Sunday smokers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a modifiable risk factor, and we're going to talk about other modifiable risk factors to prevent heart disease.
Right.
You can take steps, but smoking is most important. That's number one.
And it doesn't matter whether it's a pipe or a cigar or a cigarette, you know.
And that's another thing, because cigars conveniently fell off the tobacco taxes for a while. So a lot of people are smoking mini cigars because they were taxed as cigarettes. So what happens is you're basically lighting up tobacco that's usually wrapped in tobacco, and it's hard to explain that to a cigar smoker who says, I don't inhale, or I only have 3 to 5 cigars a day, and the bigger the cigar, the more the tobacco is packed.
One of the times I remember quitting, of the probably 49 times I tried to quit before I actually quit, I went and I smoked, there's 5 cigars in a package, and they're wooden tipped. I remember what they call them now, but, you know, they had a wooden tip on them. And I was smoking them, and I was inhaling them. And I'm saying, after a while, I'm saying, what am I doing? I might as well go back to smoking cigarettes, because these are terrible, you know, and because I'm inhaling them anyway, you know. And and I have to tell you, I have a touch of emphysema from my smoking days, so, you know. But
I'm glad it's just a touch.
Who's to blame? Me. Nobody else is to blame, so.
It's never too late to quit.
No, it isn't. It isn't, you know. And but it's ironic because, like I said, if somebody lights a Marlboro up, I have to walk away because, I could be tempted because I have an addictive personality.
So that's your trigger.
It might be a trigger. So I just walk away, you know. But the other kind, they just stink. I don't know how, you know, if we stood it.
Walk away, but before you walk away, you can give them my card. I'll give you some.
I got to ask. I ask normally everybody this question. How did you get involved in all this? I mean, you know, some people tell me, oh, well, I did something as a kid, or something happened as a child, and I always wanted to be,
a nurse,
a dentist, a doctor, or truck driver, or whatever.
It's funny that you say that because we're doing some household things, and I actually found my little nursing hat and my little Florence Nightingale thing. So I graduated nursing school in 1984. I was at Muhlenberg Hospital School of Nursing. That was in Pittsburgh at the time. And I did not always grow up always wanting to be a nurse, but I was taking some courses at Montclair, and one of them was a health course, and it was extremely interesting. And then once I got into nursing, I kind of embedded myself. I did all sorts of nursing, but I embedded myself in the cardiovascular venue, and I love it. So
that's awesome.
So I'm
sure.
The care coordinator. I've been in this role for, oh my goodness, it's going to be 7 years this August. And before then, I was in the catheterization lab, cardiac cath lab. So I still have a big connection. And we have our newer unit that opened, which is our cardiovascular center. And it's just awesome. Everything's there, you know.
It's, as a coordinator, what do you do?
So basically, I am, I do a lot. Let's see, where did I start? So my main responsibility is to my patients. So I act as their advocate. I act as their navigator. You know, when people come in to a hospital, when they suffer a heart event, it's not the best time for them. Sometimes it's the biggest impetus for them to change, but they need
little counseling. They need education. They need to be directed to the right services, cardiac rehab, and other care coordinators that perhaps are in their primary care home, and that kind of thing. And I also take care of the STEMI data, which is for the state of New Jersey. So all the primary angioplasty that we do at the hospital, and make sure that we're on the ball for that. So, but it could be a very frightening time for people, very highly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes they're inundated with a lot of, you know, people in and out and doctors, and things happen very, very fast, especially if they are in the midst of a heart attack. You know, they're swept in. We have an extremely expedited type of process where people, you know, from the field or, you know, are diagnosed, you know, via their EKG. So sometimes I like to kind of give them a couple days and wait until it goes out. But it's good because they know that they have that extra person. I mean, we have a great team. I'm part of, you know, a small part of the team. But, you know, it's good to follow up with them, you know, even several weeks out. And then what's really nice is where my office is situated now is I'm right across from cardiac rehab. So I see all these people that I've had conversations with and had follow-up with come in, and some of them are smokers, so I get to do a little quick counseling, you know, and see how they're doing with that.
Is your office actually in the hospital?
Yes.
Okay.
I am hospital-based.
Okay. So, because I know some of them are across the street.
I'm hospital-based.
So okay.
I'm inpatient and outpatients as well.
Okay. It may sound like a dumb question, but...
No, nothing's dumb.
Yeah, it is sometimes. But, like, what is heart disease? I mean, you know...
Well, heart disease is kind of a broad term.
It is.
It could be you can have heart failure, which is the inability of the heart to pump effectively. Heart disease can also be based on congenital at birth. It could also mean that you have a problem with one of the valves of your heart or the structure of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it most people think heart disease and they think of coronary artery disease. So when people think heart disease, it's kind of where their mind goes, which is typical. So coronary artery disease is can lead to all those other things I talked about other than the congenital. So when you have heart disease, if you have plaque or if you have cholesterol, so cholesterol is it's like a soft, waxy substance, and it kind of likes to hang around the inside of your arteries, like it lines the walls. And when that starts to build up, it's harder for your blood to flow. Your resistance, you know, it increases your resistance. So that it also leads to hypertension. You know, and then your heart kind of gets stiff because it's pumping against these walls that are filled with plaque. Then what sometimes happens, and I bet you didn't know this about tobacco, so just a quick fact, tobacco likes to make platelets more sticky. So if you are a smoker and you happen to have another risk factor or two for heart disease, such as high cholesterol, what happens is when platelets like to stick together, they like to go around cholesterol, and it forms a clot, and that's when you hear people like, I had a heart attack.
Right.
100% blocked. So keep that in mind about tobacco. Nicotine doesn't do that, but tobacco does. So that's why I tell my patients that recently get stented, I say, if you continue to smoke, you're at a 50% greater risk than a non-smoker of perhaps that stent or another vessel, you know, another artery having problems.
Yeah, well, I found out, I want to say about maybe 3.5 years ago, maybe four, no longer than four, that I have atrial fibrillation.
Okay.
I had never heard of it. You know, I was getting a colonoscopy, actually, and they have you all hooked up to all these things.
Sure.
And a nurse says, "You feel that?" I said, "Feel what?" You know, she says, "You don't feel that?" I don't feel what? What are you talking about? You
know. It's a common arrhythmia, but it's scary.
And she says, she gets the head nurse in, and she says, looking at the chart, and she says, "You don't feel anything?" I look, what do you want me to feel? I don't feel anything. I want to get this thing over with, you know? So she called a doctor in, and he says, well, we can do the colonoscopy and we'll deal with this after, you know. So I'm thinking, after I come out of the thing, I'm going to go, you know, I think I'm in a wheelchair. They're running me down to the ER, right? You know, so I'm in the emergency room, and it just so happened that one of the cardiologists was in there and talking to somebody, I don't know, or one of his patients or whatever. And he came in and talked to me, and he says, and you don't feel it, huh? I says, no. He says, well, it's not unusual. He says that, you know, there's a percentage of people that don't feel it. I said, I've never felt it. I don't even know what you're talking about, you know. So he turns the machine around, and he says, see that? You know, he says, that's what I'm talking about. I don't feel it, you know. So, and in some ways, it's good that you don't feel it.
Are you in it always, or are you on any?
Who knows? Who knows? I'm taking warfarin, so yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, you know, but I still don't feel it, you know.
Ever had any cardio already?
No.
No.
No. And, you know, it's like, who knows, you know, I mean, like I said, in some ways it's good I don't feel it, and in other ways it's not so good because you feel it, at least you know it's what it's doing.
Yeah, some people feel it like in their neck, or they feel it a little bit, like a palpitation. You know,
yeah, I don't feel a thing, you know. And, but hey, you know, I take the medicine, and, you know.
And you have your PTI and arm on.
Oh, yeah, I have that once a month, you know. Used to have it to do a lot more frequently, but now I do it like once a month. And it's usually about 2.1, 2.2, depending, you know.
Right. Were you offered any other of the, you know, the newer agents that are Serato or Pradaxa?
I was offered something else, but when I went to get it, it was like, you know, I checked on how much it was. It was so darn expensive that I to get it. And, you know, I get a 90-day supply of warfarin for like $4. So, you know, I'll go get the blood work.
You have to be careful when you're on any type of anticoagulant.
Well, yeah, any kind. I mean, you know, that's not the only medication I'm on, unfortunately. But, you know, it's... like I said, they diagnosed me with it. I go to the doctor. He says, hey, looking fine. You feel good. Yeah, everything, you know. So, but it's just, you know, it's right. Crazy. But it is another form of heart disease, I would imagine.
It's,
you know.
It's classified under, and, you know, an arrhythmia. And believe it or not, it's very common. And it's even more common the older you get. Sometimes a stressful situation or, you know, illness or, you know, can bring it on. So,
well,
it's going to be 91, and she has.
Yeah.
She's
God bless her.
Five times.
Yeah, God bless her.
She's age 85. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know. I got a birthday coming up on Thursday. I won't tell you how old, though, but I'm not 85. Close, but not there yet. Oh, God bless her. I'm not. No. I got a ways to go for that yet, but, you know. Now, is heart disease one of the leading causes of death?
It is actually still the number one.
Number one, right?
In our nation. But I think that lung cancer is going to exceed that shortly. Yeah. I mean, yeah. From the research and the articles that I've been reading, they say that it might outdo it. But right now, heart disease is. So it's heart month. So this is February. This is, you know,
right.
We talk and we raise awareness, especially for women and heart disease, because women don't have the same symptomatology as men at times, especially if they are having a heart attack. Their symptoms might be different. They might not have that classic crushing change.
Right.
Ear pain or shoulder pain or jaw pain or toothache type of pain. I've known men, though, that have had that as well. Mm-hmm. So it's often, you know, kind of like silent. Well, you know, you have to be careful with even hypertension. Because hypertension, some people don't feel it. I mean, when people think hypertension or high blood pressure, they think, well, I'll probably get a headache or my vision would be blurry. No.
Nope.
So it's important.
Speaking from experience, nope.
Right. You know. Exactly. So those are when we say it's important to know your numbers, blood pressure values are among them, your cholesterol. You want to know your total cholesterol. You want to know your LDL, which is your bad have cholesterol,
mm-hmm.
and your HDL is your good cholesterol. You want that to be higher because it helps to take away some of those bad cholesterols.
Right.
Your abdominal girth, your weight, you know, as in relationship with the height and all of that fun stuff. So those are all numbers. Your blood sugar. A lot of people do not equate. They think sugar and they think diabetes. And sugar leads to heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to kind of, you put all those factors, you know, together. You get a whole little mix that leads to metabolic syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Right. When a person is experiencing a heart attack, they're not all the same, though. I mean, they can be different, like you're saying, though, can't they? It's not like everybody goes, oh, you know.
Well, it really, you know, it depends, you know.
Right, yeah.
You can not be feeling so hot or be a little short of breath, and maybe go to a doctor and your EKG can look abnormal. Or you can have your classic, you know, holding your chest.
Right.
So, you know, you just have to monitor the signs. But typically, you get chest pressure or tightness or squeezing or pain. Some people have pain behind the shoulder blades. Some people get short of breath, like I said, with it. Some people get nauseous and vomit. Some people have pain down their arms. Some people, their left arms. Some people have pain down both arms. And
if they have pain like in their back, I'll get it, in their back or in their arm, would that be the only pain they have?
Some people some patients have told me, you know, I didn't feel it in my chest until the ambulance, you know, got me to the hospital. Then I started feeling pressure, but it was more in my arm. At the same time, if you have pain in your arm, you know what I mean? If you were just doing something,
right,
and you have no other symptoms.
You came from the gym or something, you know, right.
But it's funny because I've had one instance, I had a patient who was opening up old windows like these in the room.
Mm-hmm.
In like a farmhouse, and just pushing them up all day and down and up and down. And she had pain in both of her arms. And, you know, it wasn't until she became a little sweaty and like a little lightheaded and the pain in the arms that she realized, you know, this is not from muscular pain.
Right.
So you have to just listen to your body and also use emergency services, or if you're with a loved one, I cannot express how important it is. If you are with someone, or if you really think that you are experiencing a heart attack, you need to call 911. As close as people think they live, turn in, and they can get there quicker. The whole purpose of a mobile intensive care unit is they're able to treat you then and there.
Yeah, on the way.
With life-saving treatment, because they are able to actually administer Brilinta, which is a clot-busting drug.
Uh-huh.
So mm-hmm. that gets to work. So by the time that you're actually in the cardiac catheterization lab having your procedure, that clot is very soft and manageable, and you get a better outcome.
Right.
So, you know, we've got to kind of drill that whole emergency services is it's okay. Even if the person you're with is stamping their feet going, don't call the ambulance, drive me there.
But it's true. You should.
It's very true.
You know, because how would the other person feel if something terminal happened to the person while they're driving them in the car? You know,
and that happens
exactly. You know, so are symptoms different between men and women, or are they pretty much the same?
No, you know, they are a little different. You know, it just, like I said, it really depends on the person. Classic signs are the chest pain, the shortness of breath, the diaphoresis, the lightheadedness. Women may be different. They may have extreme, overwhelming fatigue. I've seen that, you know, like just all of a sudden just feeling just like...
That's interesting.
Way to just, you know, just...
Yeah.
Sometimes when you ignore symptoms, or if you have what's called stuttering angina or stuttering chest pain over a time, like, well, you know, I woke up and, you know, I went to sleep, and sometimes with, and I was able to sleep a couple hours, but then I woke back up and I was feeling all right, but then, you know, I had a cup of coffee and I started feeling indigestion, and I thought, oh, maybe it was the coffee. So, I mean, you get these stories, and, you know, you want to really kind of teach patients to kind of listen to their bodies. And if something feels wrong and not right and new, and especially if it involves classic signs or symptoms, or symptoms that just kind of come about you quickly, you know, it's not all going to be, I'm clutching my chest. Sometimes it is that. Sometimes it is, you know what, I knew I was having a heart attack.
Right.
Maria, I knew it. And I went and I chewed some baby aspirin that I had, or regular strength aspirin, not coated, just regular strength aspirin.
Right.
And I chewed that up and I called 911, and, you know, I give those patients a little gold star. And then I give all my patients a gold star. But
when you say chew the aspirin, you didn't say swallow it or drink it. You said chew it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just the properties and how it...
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. I just, you know, wanted to clarify that.
Yeah,
you know.
You don't want to chew an enterocoded aspirin. You
know? No. So you're talking about a regular baby aspirin. Right. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to The Mental Health Show, and I'm Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged today to have with us Maria Fio. I said it right.
You did.
All right. I get 100 points for that. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County. Welcome back to the Hunterton Medical Center Show from Hunterton County in Flemington, New Jersey. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today Maria Fio. I said it again right, didn't I? Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, I'm patting myself on the back. Maria is the Heart and Vascular Care Coordinator, and we were talking about heart attacks and strokes and different things between men and women, and you know, some have the same symptoms, some don't, and you know.
It's also important, you know, we're talking about people having heart attacks and treatments that Hunterton Medical Center provides, but preventative health is really the core. That's really the key to preventing everything. Because if you look at your risk factors for heart disease, there's modifiable and there's non-modifiable risk factors. So non-modifiable risk factors are your age, your gender, your genetics.
Uh-huh.
You know, your genetic,
uh-huh.
Because some people have family history, strong family history. Of heart disease or sudden cardiac arrest, and sometimes even your ethnic background and race can play a part.
Right.
But the modifiable risk factors are great. I mean, there's cigarette smoking, right? All lifestyle modifiable behavioral changes, your diet, the amount of activity that you engage in. You know, your alcohol intake.
I was just going to say alcohol,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. And a lot of these, and you know, obesity, being overweight, being inactive, a lot of these modifiable risk factors, diabetes actually, unless it's juvenile, is a modifiable risk factor. Hypertension is a modifiable risk factor, because these are things that you can make changes
mm-hmm.
in how you live. And really yield great results. You know, even small changes.
Sure.
Like, you know, like
right.
You said, how you lost all your weight.
Right.
And you know, working out, or just not even like when people think working out, they think they have to be on a treadmill for 3 hours. That's
no.
Not it. It's just moving more, limiting your sugars, your processed food intake, your sodium intake. All of those things
right.
are
and you know.
Important.
Lady that was on a radio show earlier and said, just if you're working, go outside and walk around a block while on your lunch hour, you know.
You could do that.
And don't take an elevator, go up and down the stairs, you know.
Park your car,
yeah,
far away.
And things like that, you know, it's, you know, and if you just get in the habit of doing that, it's exercise that you're doing, you know.
Instead of emailing, try walking to their office.
Right. My wife used to, when she worked, she used to walk at lunch. And, you know, and she'd walk around and then walk back and, you know, that sort of thing. And it just gave her, you know, a chance to get out because she's sitting all day long.
And it's
you know.
Such a stress reliever. Like, I know that when you exercise, it raises your heartbeat and, it, you know, it does all that. But it's especially walking. And if you are in an area where we're in Hunterton County, you can't find a beautiful path or a park to walk through, you know what I mean, to clear your head.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of link now between stress and cardiovascular
right.
disease.
My wife walks around a block, and we live in the country. We don't live in town. So around the block is 3.1 miles. So she walks around the block. She says, I'm going for a walk. I said, okay, see you in 30 minutes or 36 minutes or so. You know. She walked this morning. She walked around a block this morning. You know, then she comes home and has breakfast, you know. But she goes out first.
Right. And so there's definite steps that you can take to be a healthier person and
right.
to prevent what we were talking about
right.
earlier. You know,
right.
watching, changing your diet to affect your cholesterol
mm-hmm.
level
mm-hmm.
and making sure that, because when you start to get, you know, when your blood values start to get into that even pre-diabetic range, all of those things really just predispose you more.
Basically, what is cholesterol?
So basically, it's like I said, it's like this fatty, soft, waxy kind of buildup. So
that blocks the veins and
right,
such.
Right.
right.
And like I said, there's the good cholesterol that helps to kind of
right.
you know take
clean it out. Yeah.
Clean it out, and some people, unfortunately, you know, triglycerides is another fatty substance that we have to kind of be mindful of. And
mm-hmm.
some people have some type of familial tendencies with cholesterol. You know, as great as the diet that they're on, sometimes, you know, they have to be on lipid-lowering medicines.
Right.
You don't need every single risk factor in order to get heart disease. You can just need a couple of them. Like, people are like, oh, you know, my cholesterol is great, but, you know, but you do have hypertension and you are continuing to smoke, so... But the good news is, you know, when you can always change that. You know, those are things that you
right.
can modify if you just take some risk factor reduction type of management. Because we're all accountable, right, for our own health.
And, you know, it's
hopefully.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, it's...
sometimes even other people's health.
right. But in order to do something like that, you have to be committed.
And quite often, an event, like you were telling me about your event that made you quit smoking.
Right.
That impetus, that, I don't want to end back up here. That pain in my chest was crushing.
Right,
I'm
exactly,
not gonna smoke again.
Exactly.
And sometimes it's a very teachable moment for me. I can really kind of go in there and,
right.
and kind of, you know, make a difference.
Mm-hmm, right.
And then sometimes it isn't, you know. There's a lot of fear with change.
Well, you know, a lot of times, yeah, I know exactly.
With change,
you know. Well, I think I told you, I almost like 41 times I quit smoking. You know, every New Year's Eve, you know,
right.
and then New Year's Day I'd go back to smoking again. You know, and I think a lot of people with their, you know, New Year's resolutions, quote unquote,
right.
that, you know, New Year's Day it's over with. You know, but
you're talking about, you know, heart healthy diet. So again, the processed foods, the things that you know are not good for you, and sticking with more, well, you got to be careful what you're Coumadin, but the green leafy, although you said you have salads and everything, no problem.
No, they told me, they asked me if I ate salads
right.
and stuff. And I says, yeah, pretty regular, you know, for with dinner and have a salad. They said, well, keep it up. Don't stop it.
That's the thing.
So I keep it up, you know.
Right.
So I have salads probably 3-4 times a week.
Right. So we're talking, you know, the American Heart Association recommends a diet of no more than 30% of your daily intake is derived from any kind of, you know, fat. Of course, you want to avoid anything with, you know, trans fat, or
uh-huh.
you know,
right.
hydrogenated oils or...
Uh-huh.
And you really have to kind of get keen on looking at a nutrition label, because... A lot of times, and again, it's a learning process, right? A lot of times you might not realize what's in a product. I know that I used to do this show with Michelle Wright, who's a nutritionist, and she bought in a can of, like, an organic soup company. I'm not going to say the name, whatever. And, like, you know, you look at it, and it's like, oh, organic and
right.
non-GMO, and, you know, it's a brand name, and it's like 5 times as much as the Progresso or whatever, and it's got to be good. And you turn the label around, and it really had more sodium than,
yeah.
you know, a person
right.
should intake. So, you know, just look at your labels. And if you stick with stuff that comes from the earth or from a lean animal source, you know, there's nothing wrong with an egg or two once
right.
in a while.
Right.
It's good for you. Olive oil, you know, but you know, you don't want a half a cup of olive oil. You want to just put a little bit of olive oil
right.
in your food substance. We also have a program at 100 for cardiac rehab. We have an intensive cardiac rehab program. And I probably, Lisa Buckley will be in to talk to you about the Ornish. We have the Ornish program of reversal. So that is an intensive cardiac rehab program for a reason, because the nutrition component of that is a plant-based diet. It's a plant-based diet, and only 10% or less of fat.
When we talk about numbers and risks, mm-hmm. and we want people to change their lifestyle,
right.
so to speak, how do they do that? I mean, it's not easy.
No, it isn't. And sometimes when you have to change so many things, when someone
right.
tells you, goes in your room and says, guess what, you got to quit smoking, you got to quit drinking, you got to stop eating the way you're eating.
90% meat, you know.
Right. time in your life to you know, rehab your body, because we want you to get back to it. Fullest recovery, that's what I'm, you know, it's scary. It's
uh-huh.
overwhelming. So that's why I like to say small changes can yield big results. So
yeah, they
you know
can.
What I mean? And they really can. And but the primary one is to quit smoking. I mean, that's the rest will follow. I always tell my patients that. If they can get you to quit smoking, the rest will follow. You know?
Yeah.
When they talk about the weight gain, I say you have to be at least 100 pounds overweight to have the negative effects of tobacco-related diseases.
Well, before they did my knees, I was 130 pounds overweight, and that's what I lost, you know, 130 pounds.
Right,
so,
and you did it by eating right and
yeah.
exercising.
And it was tough.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, you know, it's still tough because I'd lose 2 pounds. Right now, I'd lose 2 pounds, I gain 3. I lose 4, I think, you know. It's like this thing. But I'm at a point where...
Support is important.
Yeah, but I'm at a point where I keep going, you know, and I keep doing it, and I'm determined that I'll lose another 10 pounds, and, you know,
right.
may take me a long time to do it, but I'll do it, you know.
Right. And if you can keep that in the, you know, back of your head, I mean, everybody is different. Everybody is going to kind of either embrace lifestyle change, reject it,
right.
maybe do a little bit of both, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But you just, that's what I'm there for. Just to
yeah.
kind of help them get to the right resources, because I will tell you, support of not only your medical team, but support of from your loved ones, from your family, from your friends. A lot of people
yeah.
don't have that support.
A lot of people don't have family, so,
yeah.
you know. Do you run any kind of support group or anything for
them? Actually, cardiac rehab really is a very supportive environment
yeah.
because people are, you're with people that have experienced
the same thing you did. Yeah, right. Exactly.
And the Ornish program actually has a large component of
mm-hmm.
it is based on incorporating mindfulness based, you know,
right.
Stress reduction
right.
methods
right.
and also psychosocial group support. So it's all good, but it's the truth, you know, it's tough. Especially when you go in and you have this laundry list. But, you know, every once in a while, it's easier for a person to kind of combat multiple things at one shot. I mean, that's what they, you know, with substance abuse and smoking, right?
Mm-hmm.
They say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, our behavioral health department's working really hard with that, too. A little plug for 100.
There you go.
Yeah.
If someone wanted to schedule an appointment or with you or get some, speak
referral,
to you about something,
sure.
a referral, how did they do that? How would they do that?
You can call me. I have a direct phone line at the hospital, and it's 908-237-5440, or you can reach me by email, and that's mfeo.
F-E-O.
At hhsnj.org.
Okay, why don't you give the phone number again?
908-237-5440.
And the email?
mfia@hhsnj.org.
All right. Maria, I can't tell you how great it's been having you on again. And speaking to you, it's great seeing you again,
I
you know.
I like the new gigs.
Yeah, the new gigs is nice, isn't it? You've been listening to the 100 Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the 100 County Chamber of Commerce, and we will be here again next week, so stay healthy, and if you're smoking, you might think about quitting. Okay, talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's. Purely
you
delicious.
Are the ice cream man, baby, stop me when I'm passing by. See now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business at a time.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Explorer.